Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 15. In this chapter, we have the law concerning the remission of debts and the law concerning the release of slaves. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a remission of debts, and this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother, that there may be no poor among you, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you this day. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of your towns in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in the land. Let's begin our study of this portion of God's Word, Deuteronomy chapter 15, with some background notes. We've mentioned that the second sermon of Moses to the children of Israel on the plains of Moab, before they entered the land, is contained in chapters 5 through 26 of Deuteronomy. Now, the bulk of this second sermon consists of a review and exposition of the various laws under the Mosaic Covenant. In chapter 14, for example, we had a review and exposition of the laws concerning clean and unclean foods in the first half of the chapter, and a review and exposition of the laws concerning tithing in the second half of the chapter. Now, here in chapter 15, we have a review and exposition of the law concerning the remission of debts in the seventh year. That's covered in the first half of the chapter. And then a review and exposition of the law concerning the release of slaves in the seventh year. That's covered in the second half of the chapter. We saw in the last portion of chapter 14 that the reason for the special tithe at the end of every third year was to care for the needs of the Levites, the foreigners, the orphans, and the widows in all the various towns. Now, here in chapter 15, the needs of other individuals in the nation are addressed, the needs of those in debt, and the needs of slaves. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 15. Doctrinal point number one: under the law, Hebrew debts were remitted in the seventh year. Under the law, Hebrew debts were remitted in the seventh year. Every seventh year in Israel was designated as a sabbatical year. Under the law, certain restrictions applied during the sabbatical year for the good of the land and for the good of the people. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. From Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. Now, here in Deuteronomy chapter 15, we see that in addition to letting the land rest during the sabbatical year, all debts were to be remitted. By the way, the phrase "at the end of 7 years" in verse 1 is a Hebrew idiom for "during the seventh year." That is, at the end of 6 years and in the seventh or sabbatical year, the debts were remitted. Now, there is some question as to whether the debts were permanently canceled or only that no payments could be demanded from those in debt during the sabbatical year when the people could not work the land to make payments. If this was the case, then the debt was only postponed for a year. Foreign debtors, of course, continued to pay off their debts during the sabbatical year because they were outside the land and not under the sabbatical laws. However, the warning about attitude in verse 9 leans in favor of the debts being permanently canceled rather than just being delayed for a year. Verse 9, once again, "Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, 'The seventh year, the year of release, is at hand,' and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you." So certainly this verse leans toward the idea that the debts were permanently canceled. In any case, the point of this law was at least twofold. Number one, to aim at eliminating poverty from the land. Verse 4, because there will always be poor people. Verse 11, as the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, verse 7, "The poor you will always have with you." We too should aim at eliminating poverty by helping the poor. Not giving to freeloaders, but the truly poor. And number two, to prove that God would bless the people and provide more than they needed to help the poor if they would obey him in this matter of kindness to the poor. And God will test us as well in the matter of showing kindness to the poor. This sabbatical system of remitting debts certainly would tend for the people to have a good credit rating if they wanted to get a loan. And this law did not prevent a poor person from paying back his canceled debt if and when he had the means. Under the law, Hebrew debts were remitted in the seventh year. Verse 6, by the way, is certainly one factor as to why Jewish people became the world's financiers. Verse 6 once again, "For the Lord your God will bless you, just as he promised you, you shall lend money to many nations, but you shall not borrow." Let's move now to doctrinal point number two. Under the law, Hebrew slaves were released in the seventh year. Under the law, Hebrew slaves were released in the seventh year. Verses 12 through 18. Deuteronomy chapter 15, beginning now with verse 12. "If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your winepress. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. And if it happens that he says to you, 'I will not go away from you,' because he loves you, and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant you shall do likewise. It shall not seem hard to you when you send him away free from you, for he has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do." Now, it's important to realize that slavery as an institution in Israel was not like the bondage that the people experienced in Egypt, or like slavery in the early years of America. No, the slavery of Hebrews in Israel essentially amounted to voluntary servitude. Many Israelites sold themselves as slaves to pay off their debts and were treated essentially as hired servants. Look at verse 18 once again. "It shall not seem hard to you when you send him away free from you, for he has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years." Also, from Leviticus chapter 25, verses 39 and 40. "And if one of your brethren who dwells by you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave, as a hired servant, and a sojourner he shall be with you, and shall serve you until the year of Jubilee." Leviticus chapter 25, verses 39 and 40. Another point to realize here is that the seventh year in reference to the release of Hebrew slaves was not necessarily the same as the sabbatical year. Notice verse 12 here in Deuteronomy chapter 15 says that the man or woman would serve for 6 years and be released in the seventh year, whatever that year was. Also from Exodus chapter 21, verse 2. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. Exodus chapter 21, verse 2. So the seventh year in which a slave was released was not necessarily a sabbatical year. It was after they served for 6 years. In the year of Jubilee, of course, all Hebrew slaves were released, regardless of how many years they served, as we read in Leviticus chapter 25. The main point of Deuteronomy chapter 15 concerning the release of Hebrew slaves is not only that they were to be set free, but that they should not be sent away empty-handed. Verse 13, "And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed." They were to be given enough to get established in the society of Israel. Call it a jumpstart package. Here again, the law tested the obedience of the people of Israel and provided an opportunity for them to be blessed if they would obey. If any servant decided that he or she would rather not go out free because they loved their master who treated them kindly and fairly, then they would have their ear pierced with an awl and they would serve permanently. Verse 17, "Then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant you shall do likewise." What a beautiful picture we have here of the committed Christian who has been set free and now serves the Lord in love. You can read more details of the release of slaves in Exodus chapter 21. Under the law, Hebrew slaves were released in the seventh year. And now let's move to our practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 15. Don't give the Lord your defective stuff. Don't give the Lord your defective stuff. Verses 19 through 23. "All the firstborn males that come from your herd and your flock you shall sanctify to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. You and your household shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place which the Lord chooses. But if there is a defect in it, if it is lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. You may eat it within your gates, the unclean and the clean person alike may eat it, as if it were a gazelle or a deer. Only you shall not eat its blood. You shall pour it out on the ground like water." Under the law, the firstborn of the flocks and herds belonged to the Lord. When they brought these animals up to the temple in Jerusalem, they could share in a communal meal and then give the rest to the priests. But no defective animals were to be given to the Lord. They could use these animals for food at home as long as they drained the blood, but defective sacrifices were not accepted. Now, what about us? Do we offer the Lord defective stuff? Our spare time and our leftover talent? Do we give to our church and favorite ministries and foreign missionary stuff that we can't even unload in a yard sale? Do we dump it off on the Lord for a tax write-off? Don't give the Lord your defective stuff.